sounded weary. I may not punish you for treason, but I could slap you for stupidity. Ulliver went on sobbing, and Mastiat frowned at me as though becoming aware that the family squabble was being earwigged by this foreigner. I was spellbound. Ulliver, racked by sobs of penitence or rage, you couldn't tell which, looking all forlorn and fetching in her scanty tunic, and the languid matron reclining on her cushions, a study in fatigued perplexity. At last she sighed, pushed the lion aside, and extended a hand towards Ulliver. Oh, come here, little one. Stop this foolish weeping. You have nothing to weep for. Ulliver gave a mighty gulp, scowled, and tossed her head. Come, I say. And damn me if Ulliver didn't dash the tears from her eyes and move with halting steps to the couch. Mastiat took her hand and pulled her gently to her knees, putting an arm about her shoulders. What am I to do with you, daughter of tribulation, sister of strife? You are too big to put across my knee these days, and if I did, you would rage and break things, and later hang your head and beg forgiveness. Perhaps even make me another gift in amends. She twitched the blue silk robe aside, revealing a massive but beautifully turned leg, ran in the family, no doubt, shod with a golden sandal and bearing two ankle chains, one of the silver bells, popular with gala ladies, the other of cheap little coloured beads. Ulliver stared and sniffed. You kept it? All these years? Since your sixth birthday, when you flew into a passion because you were not given a pony, and father had you beaten, and you broke my crystal cup in your tantrum, says Mastiat, and howled with remorse, and presently brought me this anklet as a peace offering. I made it with beads stolen from Wakiti's gown of state. The bitch, sniffs Ulliver, adding sulkily, I wonder your majesty wears such a tawdry thing. Mastiat leaned forward to finger the anklet, and said in that tired, gentle voice, I have no jewel so precious as that brought to me by a sad, sorry little girl long ago. And if she tries to take my throne, still she is that little girl, and so I must love her always. Ulliver gave a wail that combined frustrated rage with that howl of remorse Mastiat had mentioned, and buried her face while her sister went on in the same gentle, chiding tone. But what's to be done with her? Our father, Abushir, raised her as though she were a true daughter, and she repays his dead spirit by trying to overthrow me. Her own sister and rightful queen, not once, but twice, and is forgiven. Then we find her a husband, whom she shames with lovers, and Gobaizi of Lasta takes him prisoner and hopes to compel her to surrender her sweet self as ransom. The pretty antelope. More fool Gobaizi. She stroked Ulliver's braids. Meanwhile, she rebels for a third time, and fails, and weeps. Oh, a sad tangle. During these sisterly exchanges, I'd been ignored, except by the lion, which had ambled up to rub his great head against my ribs. That's how tall he stood, until Mastiat clicked her tongue, at which he trotted out obediently. Meanwhile, she continued to pet her pretty antelope, the murderous virago who'd tried to dethrone her and was being coddled like a prodigal daughter. No, I can't fathom women. Yet Gobaizi might suit you, murmurs Mastiat. He's a blockhead and goes in fear of me, and would rejoice to have my baby sister as his queen. As one of his harem whores, you mean, sniffs Ulliver. Kings don't take a concubine's brat as their consort. Mastiat slapped her wrist. Your mother was a gracious and lovely lady whom our father would have made his queen if he could. You should be proud to be her daughter. I am proud, flares Ulliver, and started to blub again. Good. Then dry your tears, and if Gobaizi is not to your taste, we'll say no more of him. There are other panthers in the wood, as who knows better than you? She glanced at me and whispered to Ulliver with a sly smile that suggested she wasn't asking my size in collars. Ulliver glared at me and snapped a reply in the gala tongue, to Mastiat's amusement. And still you seek revenge on him, perverse wretch. It seemed a good moment to make my peace with Ulliver, but I'd barely assumed an ingratiating grin and started to explain that I'd been trying to save her, truly, when she was on her feet again, spitting hate. He lies, the misbegotten bastard. He would have spurned me to my death to save his dirty skin. As I am a woman, it's true.